Hello there, this is Ed McCarter. Welcome to Hoofin' It Podcast with everything horses and livestock.
Hi, I'm Jana Harrington Barkus.
And I'm Melissa Cowan.
And we're with Hoofin' It Podcast. Hey, Melissa, I want to know how you met our next guest speaker, Elaine Davis.
Oh my gosh. So Elaine, it's just like a divine connection. So I had been, when I started Living Life Ranch, I had been trying to get my mind around what it was I was trying to do.
And so what year was that?
In 2016. And I was telling the facilitators, you know, I'm doing writing lessons. I started out doing writing lessons. And the writing lessons, I tried to incorporate, you know, things that help you mentally, like when you bring Jesus involved. And I was trying to do things like that. I knew I was supposed to be doing something other than just writing lessons, but I couldn't get my arms wrapped around how I wanted to do this and what to do. So I kept talking about it. Well, one day, one of my facilitators, Janie, she said, Melissa, I think I know what you've been talking about all this time. She said, I found a podcast, Elaine Davis, talking about her program.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So it was Unbridled. She goes, you have to listen to it. She goes, I feel like it's you talking because of all the things that I've been saying to them.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. It was bizarre. So I listened to Elaine's podcast. She sent me the link, and I was started crying because I finally found what it was I was trying to do. Elaine had already put it together. God had shown her what to do, and she developed a program, a certification program. So I said, I have to go. I have to go. And my team wanted to go with me. So we signed up for her.
Was that at?
Colorado. That was the first one I went to. And what's funny also about that is my ribs got broken the 7 days before the event. And I had 8 broken ribs, and I wasn't going to miss it. I wasn't going to miss it. I had to be there. And my doctor and everybody was saying, you can't go.
But we know you.
So
take me up. Put me in.
I said, well, I'm going. And I said, just tell me what to do. I promise I'll do whatever it takes to go, because I can't miss this. I have to do this. She only does so many a year. And I wanted to get started right away. So I went with broken ribs, and I was just really careful. I learned from a sitting. I didn't participate in the actual physical things, but I did a lot of note-taking and observing, and I loved it. And it just spoke to my heart. I'm telling you, God created this connection, and it's changed my life.
Isn't that fantastic? And you're doing so much to help so many people. And hauling the horses now to Arista and helping in there. You've got sheriff's departments. You've got what all?
There's so many things. Programs getting involved with mental health. So we have local mental health facilities as well as substance abuse facilities asking for our help. And even brain injuries now are coming into play. So we are getting a lot of
opportunity to help people.
Yes, we are. Isn't lots of clients. Neat? People have contacted us from all over.
Yeah.
We've got people coming from Emporia, Kansas, too. So it's...
That's neat. And you're there to help everybody.
That's right.
And your team.
That's
and
right.
And yes, you're God-based. Mm-hmm. And it's neat to have that direction. And some people that I know have came up that were, you know, astray, that helps them too.
Right, it does. So,
but it's all mental health. It's, you know, not that you've had something even horribly bad happen, but just finding your way again. You help with that too,
yeah.
With that.
Peace.
You know, businesses and that. Yeah.
We help
and
people help find them. Peace.
Yeah. So even if you're having a bad time at work and things, you already have so much knowledge in that area that you help people with that.
Right, career building. I can help people with career building. And Janie, too, she's a life coach as well that can help with that.
And you use the horses.
We use the horses. So. We sure do.
Well, I can't wait to talk with Elaine, and she'll be on here in just a little bit, won't she?
Yes, she will. It's going to be great.
Okay. Hey, Melissa. We are with Elaine Davis.
Yes. I love Elaine. And Elaine, thank you for joining us today. Elaine is the founder and president of Unbridled. And Elaine, I just want to, again, I'm so thankful you're with us. And why don't we just start with how did Unbridled become, you know, your program? How did this all start with you in your life?
Well, it started in a way that was pretty unlikely for me, which may be everybody's story. I was going about life. I was a women's minister and a women's pastor, and I was very involved in youth groups and was showing horses and doing all the things that I always did. And then my life crashed. And in many different ways, all the things I thought would happen, all the things I thought I was going to do with my life just came to a crumbling end. And I was forced to a place where I was cried out to God and said, Lord, obviously all the dreams and hopes and visions I had were mine, but they weren't yours. Would you please show me what you have for me in the next season? And so for about a year and a half, I prayed the same prayer. What do you want? And throughout the year and a half or so, I had three different pastors, if you will, ministers, evangelists, prophets, depending on how you see that, came to me and said, Elaine, I feel like God wants me to tell you that he has something big in store. He said, and he just wants you to use what you have in your hand. And I remember looking at my hand going, looks pretty empty to me. I mean, literally, I thought, you know, I was in a tough place because during that crash, I went through divorce and had some other family things, which I'm not going to talk about because they're not my stories to tell, but there were some pretty big family issues going on. And I was heartbroken and nothing looked like it used to look. And so when he said, use what you have in your hand, you were talking to a lady who was almost bankrupt, who had all of her normal gifts, talents, and whatever was kind of set on the shelf. And I was busy just trying to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, use what's in my hand. And I would look at it, and then I thought, well, I know what he's metaphorically talking to me. And I'd look around, and I still didn't get it at all. So then, one day in it was the end of November, God spoke to me, and he said, really quietly, he said, Elaine, next year I'm going to release your message. And at the time he said that, I was sitting on a couch staring at a TV screen, depressed. I was at the far side of menopause, so I wasn't feeling very good. I was sad.
Yes.
And he said, just wait. And so that was one day. The very next day, the phone started to ring. And the first phone call was someone calling. They had a cancellation with an evangelist for a revival on New Year's. And they asked if I would speak. And it was funny because I knew like I had to be the very last person that they called. But they called. And I had told God long before, no matter what you ask me to do, I'll do it. And so I said yes. And I got off the phone. Actually, before I got off the phone, I said, what would you like me to speak on? You know, what's your theme? And they said, how to overcome and face of impossible odds. And I'm like, okay, sure. And I really hit my knees and just started to cry. I'm like, God, I have nothing. You have to revive me first before I can even stand up on that platform. And that was like a month away. And so the very next day I got another phone call, and it was from a women's conference that wanted me to come and speak. And guess what the topic was? The same exact topic.
Oh my word.
In face of impossible odds. And then the end of that day, I got the same call from another group with the same topic. And he had my attention. And I'm like, Lord. Fast forward about a month, I got to that revival and I had a great message that I basically borrowed from someone else. And toward the end of it, the Holy Spirit just, before I even thought about what I was saying, I said, what would happen if the next time we think the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, what if we would just respond and do whatever he asked us to do? And then if he did, what if that releases us into our next season? And if not, maybe we just had too much pizza the night before. And everyone laughed and it was cute and had a really large altar call. And it was like really like watching somebody else doing it because it was so not me. It was just so Jesus. So I went home that night, and in the morning, don't you know, I hear Holy Spirit say, go to the office and find this tape. I worked for John Lyons once, and he had given me this tape. Actually, it was, what do you call those, VHS tapes? Mm-hmm. That's how long ago it was.
Yeah.
I said, go find that and put it on. And I'm like, yes, sir. And the interesting thing about it is that my parents had both died the year before, and the horses and everything to do with it was really our family love language. And so it was so painful for me to go back to the barn. But I went there, and my office was just like an inch deep in dust. And I searched and searched till I found this VHS tape. And then the only thing I had to play it in was a Mayor Foley monitor. So I stuck it in the Foley monitor.
Oh, my. Creative. You got creative.
Yeah. I saw women being healed alongside horses, and I saw the details of what the barn looked like and what how we wanted it set up, and I saw women going from being sad to, I saw them look joyful and happy. And it, as I watched this video, I just was weeping, and I'm like, yes, God, because remember, I'd been praying, what do you have for me next?
Yes.
What is your reason for my having been born? And so I'm watching this, and I'm crying, and I'm crying, and I get off the phone, and it so impacted me that I immediately called John Lyons' office, and I said, where did you get that tape from? Who is it? And I tracked down where it came from, and I went through all of that, and by the end of the day, God was beginning to reveal to me exactly what I was going to be doing. And I was so concerned that I might miss something that I drove all the way into Madison from my house, which is about 45 minutes, to get a tape recorder in case I was going to miss anything. But you know what? I can remember every single word today as if it had just happened. Mm. And so in the days to come, he began to download to me details of what this thing was going to be. And I would sit out in my pasture with my horses and my laptop, and I created a website and everything that God told me to do, the business cards, la, 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 and I had done nothing, nothing at all. I never heard of equine-assisted learning in my life.
Oh,
never.
My gosh. Oh, my gosh.
I was a showgirl, and we had horses, racehorses and stuff. So that wasn't even, like, it didn't cross my radar because I never even heard of it. And so as I'm going through all of that, and I told nobody, I'm just like completely compulsive writing down everything that I'm hearing God saying. Like, I just can't get enough. And the phone rings.
Hey, Melissa, let's take a quick break.
Thank you for joining us today. Our podcast is sponsored by
Better Equine, the manufacturer of BE saddle pads.
Bee Tree, pure and natural skin and body care products.
LE Quarter Horses and Cattle Company offers tune-ups, riding lessons, colt starting, cattle doctoring, day work.
And Living Life Ranch, located in Gardner, Kansas. Now we're back.
And lady on the other end said, I heard that you're working with people and horses to help them heal their hearts. And I'm like, I told nobody.
Oh, my.
And I'm kind of shocked myself, but I kept thinking, just go with it, you know?
Uh-huh.
Holy Spirit's obviously doing something. And I said, well, yes, ma'am, I am. She said, well, I have a daughter who can't go to school anymore. She can't go to ballet. She can't go to the mall. She doesn't spend time with her friends because she's so afraid, and she has such anxiety issues, and she's with a psychotherapist, and she's on psychiatric drugs, and she was like 12 years old. And she said, could I bring her out? And I'm like, absolutely. And hung up, made a date, and I got off. I'm like, what in the world am I going to do?
That's what I was thinking.
So, of course, I had heard of equine therapy by then because I Googled around, but I still didn't know anything about it, just that horses helping people. So she came, and I just brought in my quietest little gelding. He'd been so quiet. We used him for the quiet one from the time he was a foal. It was that quiet.
Oh my.
So I brought him in. So no matter what will happen, this will be easy, easy, and have a nice horsey time with this little girl. It'll be great. So they come. And I thought, well, I could, since she was so afraid, I thought, well, a very logical thing would be to teach her to round pen this little gelding, and she will feel self-confidence, and, you know, she'll go away feeling good about a horse time. So I get in the ring, and I show her how to move the horse to the left and how to move it to the right, how to stop it, how to draw it in, how to push it. I showed her all this stuff. And I was using a little, you know, like a friendly stick, a little mm-hmm. stick to motivate him. And so when I got all done with it, I said, would you like to come in and try? And she looked a little nervous, but she's like, sure. So here's this little girl. She was maybe 80 pounds soaking wet, a little tiny thing, very sweet and kind little girl. She comes in the ring. We chat about it a little bit. I said, I'll just stay right here with you. I'll stand behind you and we'll do it. So my little sleepy gelding is just standing on the rail waiting for us to do something. I put the stick in her hand and she goes in. I wish I could show you a picture, but this is not TV. She turns straight and she lifts the stick and gets kind of that hunched over. You know, when a horse dives at a human. Well, she got that look on her little body with the stick in her hand, and she raised that stick toward that horse. And what happened next nearly killed us both.
Oh my gosh.
He's in a round pen. He can't get away. You know, he can't move away from pressure. He faces her, drops his neck, bares his teeth, pins his ears, and dives at her.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like, oh! So thank Jesus, she was little. I grabbed her under my arm, and I don't know how, but I flew to the top rung of that
my round God.
Pen, and I got her out the outside, and stepped down off the round pen in the inside with my horse. And the horse came behind me, put his head down, and just leaned his forehead on my back like, oh, my God, what was that?
Aww.
He was so terrified. He was shaking. And I looked at her, and she's outside, and her eyes are as big as saucers. And I'm like, oh, my Lord, I nearly killed my first person.
Oh, oh my gosh.
I winged it, and I was, you know, I just asked her. And it was really the Holy Spirit. I said, what do you think just happened? And she said, you know, I don't know. I said, well, why do you think he came after you, you know, like that? And she said, I think he was scared of me because I had a stick in my hand. And I said, I said, well, were you going to hurt him? And she's like, sweet little face girl. No, you know, she's like, no, I would never hurt him. And there was this moment that just hung in the air. And Holy Spirit spoke and he said, is there anything in your life, talking to the little girl, that looks like it's going to hurt you, but that maybe it really won't? And she began to cry. She said, yeah, I think everything.
Aww.
And so I just let it end there. I said, you know what? You're going to keep hearing, because I, you know, I knew Holy Spirit. I said, mm-hmm. You're going to keep hearing about what just happened. I said, and when you come back next week, we're going to talk about it. Okay? Okay. And they were all happy. I got everybody to calm down. Lots of hugs because, like, oh, my Lord, that was really scary. And
Yes. They
left the barn. I had a really long driveway. But when they got to the end of the driveway, the mom called me back. And she said, Elaine, my daughter just said, and I quote, I just saw God in the arena. She said, he spoke to me. And he told me that everything that I was afraid of was imagined and that I didn't have to be afraid anymore.
Oh, that gives me goosebumps.
And she said she was just crying. She said, and the other thing, Elaine, by the time we got halfway down the driveway, she began to have a panic attack. So what happened was that horse saw her. He attuned to her, which means matched where she was at. Because they don't lie, so they don't know that people can lie. They don't know people can lie.
Right.
And so he moved into his pain because there was something truly afraid to be, you know, that he was afraid of because he believed her. And so that horse saw the beginnings of a panic attack that the two of us humans could not see.
Oh my gosh, that's so amazing. And so
I was just like, wow, that's what I said pretty much. I was like, well, that's amazing, because I didn't fully understand at the time what that meant. And so after I got off the phone with them, I hadn't met Greg Kirsten yet, who's the person that trained me, but I called him and said, Greg, I nearly killed my first person, and here's what happened. And he listened, and he said, you know what? He said, what you did was exactly right. He said, it's exactly what I would have done. I would have just asked her that question. And what came up inside of her was her truth. And she was able to use that truth and hold it up to what happened. And the horse told her that what she saw was real. False fear was false evidence appearing real. He didn't have to be afraid of her. That was fear that was not real. And she was able to lay that over her ballet, her school, going to the mall, and realized those were things that were false and that she didn't have to be afraid. And within 1 month, that young lady was off all of her psychiatric medications. She was bringing her friends to the barn. And that's where I started doing youth camps, because they told all their friends about this thing that happened with a horse in the barn. And that's how it really began. And then in the months to come, I would stay up till 2-3 in the morning searching for what I saw. And I would search and search and search for the picture of what God showed me when he gave me the vision.
Yes.
I couldn't find it anywhere, just nowhere, nothing even close to what I saw. And so finally one night at about 2 in the morning, I said, God, I quit. I don't know where else to look. I'm trying so hard to do what you told me, but I don't even know what it is. And I could hear him smiling. And he said, that's because it doesn't exist.
Oh, and wow.
I think that I rolled my eyes, not in disrespect, but in like, oh no, now we're both in trouble. if I have to come up with something that doesn't exist. I don't know what you were thinking, God. And so as I began down the road, well, I should say that. So that night after he said that to me, I got back on the internet one more time. And that's when I landed on equine assisted learning and psychotherapy. And what I read, what just sent off bells and whistles inside of my spirit. And I'm like, this is it. I don't know what it is exactly, but this is it. Mm-hmm. And so within a month, I drove all the way across the United States and I got certified with the OK Corral series. And immediately, it was such a God thing, had such favor with Greg and Jennifer Kirsten that we became dear friends immediately. And I'd always go out to dinner with them and we'd always spend extra time when they came. And I started going to a certification every year, and then he would do a second certification at my place every year. So I was going to 2 certifications every year for 7 years. Don't you love 7, the year of completion?
Yes.
On the 7th year,
yes.
Greg came up behind me as we were leaving an arena and he said, Elaine, are you interested at all in doing a faith-based arm for my milepost? And I'm like, oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I would love to. Thank you. And I was just blown away. And right after that came the biggest crash in my entire life personally. And when I could finally breathe a little bit, I knew the answer was obey God. The only way out of any situation is to hear his voice and respond to it. And so I said, Lord, would you please just tell me one, please, just one thing to do and I will do whatever you tell me. And he said, call Greg. And I'm like, oh, okay, because I was supposed to do that thing 2 years before and I never did. And so I called him and put my faith smile on my face, because you know you never can sound negative when you're smiling.
That's right.
So I called him and I chit-chatted a second. I said, well, I suppose you found somebody else to do the faith-based application. And he said, no, Elaine, I've been waiting for you. And I'm like, smile continued. And I said, he said, are you ready? And I'm like, sure. And I'm like, faithing it. otherwise known as small white lie or a very big lie, because I had nothing. I had nothing. I had nothing except the fact that I knew that God told me yes. And so I was saying yes to God, but not to the fact that I had anything written down. So he said, okay, well, we're going to put on the schedule. And that year we started traveling around the United States doing faith-based applications for the OK Corral series. And it was amazing. And I got to share Christ with people I would have never been able to reach. And it just kept getting deeper and wider.
Wow. What a blessing.
And, you know, I forgot one little piece that is really remarkable, actually. Is so this is how it actually happened. So I loved the OK Corral. I loved equine assisted learning. I would come back to my room at night and I would just make notebooks full of applications that I could do with it. And just all, you know, everyone else would be out going to dinner together. And I was back in my hotel room just downloading from Holy Ghost. And so the next certification that he did at my farm in Wisconsin at the time, we had some big exercise and had some really funny things happen in the arena. So when Greg and I went and met together to talk about what had just happened away from the clients, he was talking about, and the horses moved away from this pressure and da da da. And I'm like, wait a minute, Jesus moved away from pressure too. And he looked at me like, what? I said, no. I said, you know, like when the Pharisees wanted to stone him before it was time, mm-hmm. what did he do? He just moved away through the crowds. Kind of like, not my drama, not my reason, not my why, I'm out of here. And if you look at the opposite, what are the things that Jesus moved into? What was painful for him? He moved into every sick person, every hurting pain. He always moved into pain. He also moved into the money changers in the temple because they got between people and him, and that caused him pain. Mm-hmm. And so I started to just verbalize in front of Greg the different patterns, the philosophies of basic equine therapy. And I'm like, oh, my Lord Jesus. He moves like this 100% of the mm-hmm. time. And as the years went by, that just solidified. After that meeting, with Greg's blessing, he said, Elaine, why don't you take everything I have and just make it faith-based? Because I'm never going to work with faith-based people. He said, and you're underneath me. Why don't you do that? And I was like, wow, that'd be so great. Though I never did actually do that because I felt like I was on ground that he plowed, and I never wanted to do that because he mm-hmm. he went through enough stuff like that from right. another group, and I didn't want to be like that. But he's always been my friend. We are still in great relationship. If I have questions about anything as far as, you know, like insurance or business practices or legal things, I always call him. And you know, he and Jennifer are always wonderful. And I say that to you to let you know that this herd mm-hmm. is the only herd in this certification business that is still under the authority and under the guidance of their founder, because Greg is the founder of all equine assisted learning, and we're in a beautiful friendship relationship with them. And so we have a peaceful, in order herd, which I'm so grateful for.
Yes, that's wonderful.
Yes.
You know, Elaine, I thought of something. When yes. you were talking about Jesus being with, you know, going towards pain and leaving for pressure. I thought of how he is also truth, you know, like horses don't ever lie.
Yes.
And Jesus is truth too. And I don't know, that just, I just went, oh yes, because
it is so true. It's just the most beautiful, amazing thing. Because think about what was Jesus always? He was truthful.
Mm-hmm.
He's always with us in the present moment.
Yes.
And he was always forward looking toward his father. And horses are exactly the same thing. Always truthful. Always living present in the moment. That's how they survive. Mm-hmm. And they're always moving forward. You know, you never see, I joke in certifications, you don't see them trotting backwards across the pasture or galloping forwards, but looking backwards. Either one would cause them to get hurt at yeah. the very least. You know, so every single movement that Jesus and horse herd makes are the same. Their response to stimulus is the same. And they also cause things to happen in the same way. you know, the patterns Jesus used were both to respond to what was here on earth, but also to create miracle signs and wonders. He used the same basic philosophies that we use in faith-based EAP.
Yeah,
that's amazing. Really, really mind-boggling.
It is.
In fact, we just had, I don't mean this to be an advertisement, but hey, why not? We just, released a Bible study method. It's not a Bible study, and it's not really a book. It's a Bible study method that shows you how to see what we do in the Word of God. Because if you can't see in the Word of God the parallel with the horses, then that's not part of our philosophies. So we have a study out that shows you how to see all of the faith-based EAP movements, the basic philosophies, demonstrated by Jesus Christ when he was here moving through the Gospels. And it's amazing.
Oh, yeah. When are you releasing that?
It's already out. It has had an extremely soft release because I wasn't quite ready for a big promo. But it's out. It's on my website. You can get it now. And it is the most beautiful thing. It happened. It came to pass 3 years ago in the winter. My team always does a Bible study together, some sort of a book study. And that year I said, well, which book do you want us to do, Jesus? And he said, well, how about the Bible? And I thought, wow, good idea. Oh, what a novel idea. Let's do the Bible. So he just impressed on me, why don't you teach your team how to ease the basic philosophies in the Word of God? Because that's the most important thing about this. So I said, okay. So we all got colored pens. I bought them all a Bible that you could take notes in. And we sat down together with our coffee and snacks in front of a fireplace. And we opened up Matthew. And we thought we'd get through Matthew in a couple of weeks. Then we go on to the other Gospels. And we opened up the Word and we began to weep because there's not a word in there that doesn't line up with the basic philosophies of faith-based EAP.
Oh, that's wonderful. I can't wait to see that.
It's so beautiful. We would cry and we would laugh. I think we got saved about 10 more times throughout the study. And we're like, oh, Jesus, if I'm not saved, I want to be. You know, just having so much fun getting to know him. And the way you see the philosophies in the Word is pretty much by closing your eyes and imagining Jesus doing what he's saying. And so it was like getting to walk through the gospel, seeing Christ teach us individually what he meant and why he did it and what it looked like and what were the results and what were the impact, what was his heart. And we came out of that just like almost speechless every night. We would like, we couldn't stop talking over the top of each other. Oh, blah, blah, blah. It was so alive.
That's awesome.
So I highly encourage anybody who's interested and just even getting to be even closer to Jesus and understanding and knowing him even better. But especially if you're doing equine assisted learning or psychotherapy of any kind, you'll find out who the true teacher is. He's our unfacilitator. And that, you know, that is the difference between faith-based EAP and any other kind of equine assisted learning or psychotherapy. Is the other ones are laid, their foundation is horse herd dynamics. Wild horse, well, good ones are wild horse dynamics. Our base is the Word of God. And then we lay wild horse herd dynamics on top of the Word of God. And that's where we get our basic philosophies from. If you can't see them in the Word, let me turn it this way. If you can see it in the Word and you see it demonstrated in the herd, that's what we believe.
Oh, that's great. And would you tell everybody how to find this? Tell them what your website is.
Yes.
You bet. www.unbridledfaith.org.
Great.
Perfect.
Elaine, thank you so much for joining us today. And we look forward to our next episode with you. Oh, my gosh. This was so good.
I'm so excited to be here with you, ladies. This is such an exciting season. And I'm so glad to partner with you.
Yay.
Sounds good.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Elaine.
God bless and talk to you very soon.
Okay. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Subscribe with us to follow our podcast and please provide a review. We appreciate your positive feedback, which enables us to provide our free podcast to you. You can find links to their website at ehalnews.com.
Music provided by Ed Mahan. Copyrights by Everything Horses and Livestock.